Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 38. Text 12. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yasya kila miva. Yasya kila mivahabi sumangalai vacho vanishra gunakarma janmadi pananti shubhanti punanti vajjagat yastad divakta shavashobanamata. All sins are destroyed and all good fortune is created by the Supreme Lord's qualities, activities, appearances. All sins are destroyed and all good fortune is created by the Supreme Lord's qualities, activities, and appearances. And words that describe these three things animate, beautify, and purify the whole world. On the other hand, words bereft of his glories or like the decorations on a corpse. Purport, Srila Sridhar Swami brings up the following possible objection. How could one who is devoid of ordinary ego, who is fully satisfied, engaged in pastimes? The answer is given here. Lord Krishna acts on the pure spiritual platform for the pleasure of his loving devotees, nor for any kind of mundane gratification. Om Jnanam Timirandasya Jnanam Jana Shalakaya Taksuram Nuitam Yena Tajmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishnam Tapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Vidati Sapadantikam Pancha Kalpa Tulujascha Kripa Shindu Bayevacha Patitanam Bhavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Srirasade Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So, greetings from Vrindavan is still a flurry of activity after the Govardhan retreat. I just moments before, the Iranian devotees were saying goodbye to me. And just looking at their faces, they were just so, they're really in a state of ecstasy. It's just that what what appreciation can do to the experience of Krishna. It's just something about the consciousness of one is so restricted. Value they place on what they've been restricted from, which is the open expression of Krishna consciousness, that allows them a very unique absorption of Krishna consciousness. I was sitting and they were coming to see me, just the shine on their faces and their gratitude. Wonderful, and their deep, deep understanding of Krishna consciousness. I felt blessed in their association. Now we're studying, as you know, I've been doing this, I think it's 6 or 7 years, and gone through many books, so I just had the inspiration to share with the Sangha audience the parts of the Bhagavatam that were specifically the meditations of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at the end of his life, when he was concentrating on his own inner inspiration to experience and attain the mood of the devotee, the topmost devotee, Sri Radha, by hearing and meditating on the parts of the Bhagavatam where that mood is expressed. And this is one of the stories where Akura is sent by Kamsa to take Krishna and Balaram from Vrindavan, and the reaction in separation from Krishna of the residents of Vrindavan, specifically the gopis, when they hear that, that level of love is what Krishna wants to express, wants to experience in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is one of the pastimes, but in this, before we get to that, we're following the story. Before we get to that, before Akura comes and the residents of Vrindavan and the gopis realize now that Krishna will leave, and when they see him mounting the chariot, their feelings, when the wheels are rolling away, and the sentiment when he's gone. Such a depth of supreme love. It's love, but it's not just love that's on the mental plane, intellectual plane. It's something very real and substantial. It's the essence of God's bliss potency, which is love. It's actually an energy shakti that one brings into one's heart by one's desire to serve and please God. And the ultimate service is love. Not just things, but it's love. It's affection. Affection comes in relationships. So the ultimate pleasure of God, the ultimate pleasure we can give God as devotees, is to love him in a relationship which is inherent within us. At the same time, inspires God's energy to flow through our heart to bring it out to its fruition. So a Krura has this great love, and before we see the response of his actions to the resonance of Radha, we're going to see his love, and he's going to see Krishna. And it's a very key point, because what's driving his journey is his aspirations. And if you want to see Krishna and you want to experience Krishna, because bhakti is the experience, prema is the experience of Krishna. And the experience of Krishna is our deep love for Krishna. In that experience of Krishna, it's how we feel when we're with the object of our love in relationship. But it's driven by our aspirations. So we get to see a devotee who is moving towards Krishna and driven by his aspiration. And we see what that mind is. I always try to paraphrase it. You know, today I will see the Lord of my life. Krura has a sincere aspiration, and that's the key. When you actually want Krishna, you get Krishna. Sincere desires are fulfilled. And what the process is and what we have to go through when God responds to those sincere desires is maybe a lot of purification. Sometimes it's almost scary. I was at the very, very nice godbrother for Tadvaja Swami. And he's basically kind of trying to, life changes in various ways, and trying to really figure out what is his service, his contribution to Prabhupada. And then last year he did a Kartik after which he chanted a certain amount of rounds, very substantial. And he just continued. And he realized, this is what Krishna wants me to do. It's a nice service, being a servant of the holy name. Because the whole Krishna consciousness movement, its success is based on the pure chanting of the holy name. So to have people that are servants of the holy name and exemplars of the holy name is a very, very important service. It may not be everyone's service, nor can it be everyone's service. But somehow it became his service. And so he was in Vrindavan, and then he visited Govardhan, and in the evening he was taking some milk, and someone just gave him this ceramic mug. I think he was going to take the milk to his room, so he was in the facade room, and he just stood up. And then he felt dizzy and he just fainted. And he just fell flat on his face. And it's a happy ending, so don't get scared, but he fell right on the mug in his face. Luckily, it just cut him right between the eyes. It didn't go in the eyes. But I think he may have broken his nose, chipped a few teeth, and then right between the eyes, a gash. And he sent him to the hospital, and whatever it is, that there's no complications, but you have to have stitches. And, you know, and I was just thinking, and joking, but not joking, I said, Maharaj, you know, you've taken full shelter of the holy name. And this is what happens to you. It makes me afraid to do the same thing. But actually speaking, the real mercy, and he said you didn't feel any pain the whole time, but the real mercy of Krishna is to bring us beyond dualities. The real mercy of Krishna is that when death comes, we're not fearless. We're confident that this is Krishna's will. Of course there's suffering in the world. Of course. When you have material desires, there's suffering. Because the world doesn't move according, we're not the controllers. So the world's not going to conform to our desires, and we're going to suffer on that platform. But when one's objective becomes the service of Krishna, which really means what the consciousness is, not just the activities. When Narada was, he tried to see God, Narada. And he got darshan, and then the second time he tried the same thing, and he couldn't see God. Second time he couldn't see God. What point that was. That's a problem. Give me, I'm at night here, so it's always a little fuzzy in the mind. Let me see if I can remember. Yes. Second time he tried to meditate, and he didn't get the darshan of God, but he got the kashpani, the unembodied voice of God, and told him that you were not complete in service. So it doesn't mean the amount you've done. It means the consciousness of service. And of course, we can develop the consciousness of service by doing service, not the, you know, by the amount we do. We can also get that consciousness. So God's working on us to develop this mood of humble service. But it all begins with a journey that's driven by our aspirations, where our aspirations are expressed. And therefore, we take humble absorption in Krishna's form, qualities, and pastimes. We meditate on Krishna as the reservoir of beauty. He's the reservoir. That means any beauty in this world is just a drop from the reservoir of beauty of God. How beautiful is God? How attractive is God? So good, it's just so excited. And he's expressing his appreciation for God. And this is the main symptom of spirituality, is what you talk about. Our test of spiritual advancement is how much we're talking about God. And that's what an advanced devotee is. You talk about what your interest is. If your interest is domination, you criticize others. If your interest is sex life, you talk about the opposite sex. Even if you're a devotee. But the symptom of a devotee is his bhakti, is his expression. So he's seeing that the Krura, he's just, his mind is just thinking about his objective or goal, which is God. And when you have that feelings of aspirations and that spiritual desire, when you contact God, your heart explodes in ecstasy. And we'll see that with the Krura. He has so much eagerness, so much anticipation. And when he finally sees the footprints of Krishna, he rolls in the dust of Vrindavan. So here, all good fortune. How great is God? How great is Krishna? All good fortune is created by the Supreme Lord's qualities, activities, and appearances. And it means hearing about these things. Because what is auspiciousness? Ultimate auspiciousness is the self, is realizing the self. Ultimate auspiciousness is what brings you closer to your true self. It's just consciousness which reaches its fruition in love of God. So what's auspicious is what brings us to our own perfection. And what is that? It's love of God. And how do we get it? By hearing about the Lord's qualities, his activities, and appearances. And therefore, he's saying here, words that describe this, that describe the Lord's qualities, describe the Lord's activity, they give life. They beautify and they purify the world. And what does purify mean? It means to bring out the original thing. Purify the world. The world is God's energy. Purify the world means that you see that. And that's also what beauty is. Because God is love. And animate, it gives life. So he has this perception, I am going to see that person. The reservoir of beauty and the abode of auspiciousness. And this is his aspiration. This is what he wants. And he's keeping his goal in mind. And this should inspire us to become a devotee, or at least to reflect on our own lack of that type of absorption. that type of humility. Humility means happy small. That we're happy. We're happy to be what we are as a servant. We're happy in love, which doesn't require position, which doesn't require size, but is the greatest thing. On the other hand, he said, words bereft of his glories. They're like decorations on a corpse. What is the use of that kind of beauty? What is the use of decorations on a corpse? So really, what he's describing here is that the qualities of God and the activities of God and the appearance of God are not on the basis of ego. But it's spiritual and it's purified. It's reality. So let's hear more of Akura's heart. Sachapatirna kila sattatangaye Svasetu pala maravarya shamakrit Yashandvatanvandvaja asta ishvaro Kayanti deva yarishesha mangalam. That same Supreme Lord is descended in the dynasty of the Satipas to delight the exalted demigods who maintain the principles of religion he has created. Residing in Vrindavan, he spreads his fame, which the demigods glorify in song, and which brings auspiciousness to all. So that same Supreme Lord Krishna is the delight of the exalted demigods. That means he is superior. Who maintain Dharma, which is ultimately Dharma Sushakshad Bhagavat, established by God. And he's residing in Vrindavan, I'm going to Vrindavan, and he spreads his fame, which the demigods glorify in song and which bring auspiciousness to all. Shesha Mangalam, unlimited auspiciousness. This is what auspiciousness is. There's no other auspiciousness, ultimately, than to realize the self, because everything else is temporary and filled with duality. So what is auspicious, our value system, is what brings us closer to God. Therefore, Prabhupada said that a devotee, when a devotee looks at astrology, is different than a karmi. A karmi is looking at good and bad in terms of his own satisfaction and aggrandizement materially. And a devotee is looking at auspiciousness in terms of what brings him closer to God. And therefore, the most difficult circumstances for the devotee can be the best. is no longer bad karma. Because sometimes the most difficult situations force us to realize the most wonderful things. And that's why Bhishma Dev instructed Yudhisthira, who had suffered so deeply in his life and couldn't understand how is my life auspicious. I thought the Dharma leads to auspiciousness, but I led such a spiritual religious life. But my life was like hell. And then, actually, it was his grandfather, Bhishma Dev, instructed him very, very beautifully that you have to have a different value system. Value system should be on what brings the consciousness closer to selflessness and the mood of devotion. And therefore, he says, if you understand that there's a moral force in the universe, that our destiny is governed by God with the objective to elevate our consciousness, if we respond to it appropriately, which means to say thank you in all circumstances, to bow our head humbly, understanding that that force is of destiny, Kala, God is manifesting in terms of time, that force of Kala is absolute. You can't counteract it, but at the same time, it must be benefic because it's coming from God. And what is the fruit of it? That's realized. If you look at it in this way and do three things, you respond appropriately according to the codes of Dharma. And what is Dharma? Dharma is the appropriate action in every circumstance that elevates our consciousness. And we're into that, the elevation of consciousness. So a difficult circumstance may be the best opportunity to elevate our consciousness, providing we know the science of responding appropriately. And therefore, we not only respond with Dharma, but we do it carefully under the guidance of the Brahmins and the Vaishnavas. Today, I shall certainly see him, the gold and spiritual master of the great souls. Seeing him brings jubilation to all who have eyes, for he is the true beauty of the universe. Indeed, his personal form is the sheltered desire by the goddess of fortune. Now all the dawns of my life have become auspicious. So I went through dawn after dawn after dawn after dawn after dawn, and this did not happen. I did not see the divine, the true beauty of the universe, the sheltered desire of the goddess of fortune. I've done this dawn after dawn after dawn after dawn. What did it bring? If it doesn't bring God, it doesn't bring auspiciousness. And therefore, if it doesn't bring an elevation of realization, a re focus of the mind, a pure focus of the mind, some kind of elevation, some kind of realization that helps us to act and think in a way that results in a clearer focus of the mind. Not auspicious. So dawn after dawn after dawn after dawn after dawn. Awakening, 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 awakening. So what? But they'll all become auspicious if I see Krishna. And therefore, my life journey, my life experience, no matter what it was, helped me to come closer to this. Then all the dawns of one's life become auspicious. If that's your narrative, if that's your story, then it gives value to everything in your life. Because then everything in your life was a component of realization that enabled you to have the consciousness and aspiration that actually brought you to the darshan of God. And if that happens, Akru is saying, and he's saying, that's happening to me. Now all the dawns of my life have become auspicious because I've utilized it for its purpose. Atato Brahma Jigyasa. Now that you've come to the human form of life, it's time to inquire into Brahman. Kumar Achare Pragyo Dharman Bhagavatana. Dharma and Bhagavataya. Dulabam Manasan Jadma Tanapyat Uvam Artha. Koma Archare Pratyo. Those who are intelligent, even if they're young, before five. Dharma and Bhagavat, they worship God. Dulabam Manasan Jadma. Very difficult to get this human form of life. There's so many species of life. It's very difficult to attain that. Tadapya dhruvam artadam. And even though the human form of life is temporary, artadam, it is possessed of the greatest value. If this becomes the result, then I will at once alight from my chariot and bow down to the lotus feet of Krishna and Balaram, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Theirs are the same feet that great mystic yogis striving for self-realization bear within their minds. I will also offer obeisances to the Lord's cowherd boyfriends and all the other residents of Vrindavan. Because what I am seeing once in my life, these people are so qualified. I want to see Krishna once. But they are seeing him every day. And therefore, they are feeling constantly the most intense feelings of love. So this is what he's thinking. It will happen. I can't wait. I will get down from the chariot. And I will see God that everyone is striving for. Just striving for their feet. And therefore I will pay obeisances to the cowherd boyfriends and all the residents of Vrindavan who are seeing him and serving him and relating to him every day. That's perfection of life. Not just to view or meditate or appreciate, but to love God in a relationship with God. And when I've fallen at his feet, the Almighty Lord will place his lotus feet upon my head. And for those who seek shelter in him because they are greatly disturbed by the powerful serpent of time, that hand removes all fear. So he's talking about his words. And now they're talking about his feet with the mystics. And then the Lord will place, he's snowing, his lotus hand on his head. And then all fear is removed. Because once one embraces reality, there's no fear, just like the snake. The rope is mistaken for the snake. So as soon as you have reality, it's not actually a snake, it's a rope, and your fear is removed. So in the same way, our fear is only a projection of seeing the world through a perverted consciousness and intelligence. And therefore we're afraid. Ishada Petasu Vikarios Mati. Ishada Petasu, we turn away bound away from God. Vikarios Mati. And we've forgotten ourselves. And therefore we're in a false conception of the self that's temporary and always threatened with non-existence. And we fear. It's amazing, you know. Think about death. The thing about death is it's something that everyone's facing. But because after they die, they can't tell us their experience, that personal experience of death, which is something we'll have to face, is not within our consciousness. Unless we're a little bit pensive. As Prabhupada said, as he was on his bed, ready to leave the world, he told his young disciples, don't think this won't happen to you. And most people die without any transcendental knowledge. They die fearing non-existence. They die fearing the unknown. What everybody ends without transcendental knowledge in the most hellish situation possible. A fear of a non-existence that rips out all that one is attached to, including one's body and mind. Right now, we have so much anxiety. If one little thing moves against our desires, what if everything moves against our desires? Because death, in the illusion of non-existence, means every single one of our attachments will be taken away. And therefore, spiritually, there's such an impetus to gain some transcendental knowledge. The whole purpose of sannyas, is a time of life that we die when living, so that we practice death. We practice giving up our attachments. Because it's going to happen. But reality is contact with God. And that's eternal. I tell the story. I went through my trial by fire, where basically my self-conceptions and my attachments were being kind of ripped from me. The world is adversity. Suffering reveals it. But it's not adversity if you're in the mood of service. Because the consciousness of service is not dependent on environment. The consciousness of enjoyment is completely dependent on an environment we're not in control of. It doesn't matter if we're not in control of the environment. If our goal or consciousness is service, as the environment changes, it just means that our service changes. So when the world goes against our desires, and we have a little spiritual knowledge, it helps us to refocus on our faith and value and in consciousness, meaning and not just possessions, but things. So I remember going through such difficulty and therefore taking shelter of the Holy Name. Cultivating the consciousness that my desires are being fulfilled within God. Because the ultimate objective or goal is that relationship with Him. And I remember when I was chanting and then I was reflecting. Of course there's fear. Your life is based on ego. That everything you value, you lose. Because it's a false self. The false conception of the self would change in every life. I'm American, I'm this, I'm New York, I'm Indian, I'm whatever it is. That will change. And therefore, a life based on that, which means a life based on control and enjoyment, is always filled with fear. But serving God is a position of the real self. And if that's what you value, if that's what you value, and that's what you identify with, Who was it? Well, I was chanting and chanting and chanting and chanting. I started to make that correlation. What I am doing and who is doing that? Never stops. So he's saying, Akura, he's just in such anticipation and realization. You can see God. And for those who seek shelter in him, because they are greatly disturbed by the powerful serpent of time, that hand removes all fear. By offering charity to that lotus hand, Karanda and Bali earn the status of Indra, king of heaven, and during the pleasure pastimes of the Rasa dance, when the Lord wiped away the gopis' perspiration, removed their feet, the touch of their faces made that hand as fragrant as a sweet flower. This is his meditation. Those words, his glories, his feet, his hands. I will see that today. Okay, we'll stop here. Any questions?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Anybody like this?
Gail.
Hi, Gail. Thank you.
Maharaj, I have to tell
yes.
you that this class was just so jam-packed with gems. I kept saying, you know, well, my version of Amen all throughout. It was like so, you know, it was really amazing.
Again,
it happens, Gail.
When I'm laying on my bed and I'm half asleep and I don't know what I'm saying, I get the best response.
But today you sounded so alive. I'm surprised.
It must be something that's speaking through me. No, I try my hardest. I try my hardest, but it's I have to get worked up to keep on going. Actually, maybe that's it.
Well, this
is a long day. I get up very, very, very early in the morning. I get up very early. Very early. So by the time it comes here, which is 7:30, I've been up a long, long time. But I guess what happens is I have to really rev myself up to keep my mind.
That's
alert.
What I was thinking.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you, Gail. That's really encouraging to me.
I do want to clarify one thing. It may sound like I'm saying that, you know, that service is, you know, active service is not the key, but that's not what I'm saying. You know, when you said that, you know, Narada, by doing the same thing, he got different results. It shows that it's not about the activity. You know, developing our consciousness, doesn't it mean that we develop that spontaneous care, affection? I care about your happiness, Krishna. And yes, we do develop that through active service, but isn't that what he was lacking, enough of that sentiment?
I'm trying to remember what I said. Can you say that? Say that again, Gail. I can remember.
Yeah, that Narada was incomplete in service. It doesn't mean that he wasn't doing enough things, active service. It means that his desire for Krishna's happiness.
It wasn't that he was doing enough things, but his attitude was not perfect yet. He was still, that's my analysis. You know, when it says you're incomplete in service, it doesn't mean just run around and do more things. It means do more things so that your consciousness becomes changed.
Yes, yes. So, and consciousness, when we say we want to develop our consciousness, we mean we want to care about Krishna's happiness, right?
Right.
From the heart.
We want to develop love. And love means intention to please. And it becomes a very exclusive thing. You know, in the Govardhan retreat, Borijan Prabhu gave brilliant, brilliant talks, practically summarizing the whole 10th canto of the Bhagavatam. And he brought it all the way to the end of Krishna's life, where he before he leaves, he instructs Uddhava. And then he tells Uddhava, the way to get bhakti, the way to get bhakti is by associating with devotees. And then he describes categories of devotees and says the gopis is best. And then in four verses, and this is after 110 years, Krishna's remembering the gopis. He hasn't been there in 110 years. And he's remembering the gopis, and he reveals why they're the best devotees by describing their consciousness. And he says, even though they're in such extreme misery and separation, they only care for my happiness. They find their happiness in me alone. So that, you know, it describes what is their consciousness. It's intensely focused on the pleasure of God, which is who we are. It's the fruition, it's the result, it's the perfection. That on the existential platform, we are servants of God. And extremely focused on that, intensely focused on that. Because the ultimate reality is this loving exchange. And therefore, it's the perfected loving exchange. Therefore, it's the most intense loving exchange. And therefore, the consciousness is the highest. And it's love, and it's overwhelming love. So, yes, that's their consciousness. That's what service means. Okay, thank you, Gail.
Thank you so much.
Good. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, the humble obeisances.
Hi, Bo, Nandi Dilal.
Thank you for your wonderful class, Maharaj.